And the Buddha's reply, I'm just following really the Buddha here, to Subhuti, is emphatic. Do not speak thus, Subhuti. Yes, even then, in the future, there will be such beings. And then he goes on to talk about the qualifications that those bodhisattvas who will understand the words of the sutra, what qualifications they'll have. They will be gifted, firstly, with good conduct, good moral conduct. They'll observe the precepts. They'll, secondly, be gifted with virtuous qualities. And thirdly, they will be gifted with wisdom. So to hear, to understand the Diamond Sutra, you need these qualifications, these qualities. Good conduct, virtuous qualities, and wisdom. And there will be people in the future. That means there are people now who have those qualities. The Buddha is very confident about this. There is an expression of great confidence in people, in beings. There will be such people in the future, which I take to mean that there are these people now. We are the future in the Diamond Sutra. The future is now. I just have to say that. So we have the potential, the capacity to understand the Diamond Sutra and to live as bodhisattvas. That is what the Buddha is saying. The Buddha is true. The Buddha does make a lot of previous meritorious actions in this passage. I'll come to that in a moment. There will be beings in the future of good conduct, virtuous qualities and wisdom, who even if they give birth to one single thought of serene faith on hearing this sutra, they will understand. Such beings are able to do this because they've planted roots of merit under hundreds of thousands of Buddhas. So the Buddha is supremely confident of all this. I suppose he can be, because he's a Buddha. And again, it sounds rather strange, all this, and you might sometimes think, well, he's just selling the sutra. You know, the compilers of the sutra are just putting a good old spin on it to make it popular. I don't read it in that modern, cynical, jaundiced way. It's one of the problems with modern age. We're so cynical. They weren't like that in the old... Anyway, what I think's being done here is, in a peculiar Indian Mahayana hyperbolic way, is that the Buddha is really attacking our habitual self-doubt and self-undermining. The habitual depotentiating and debunking that we do to ourselves and others. It's really such a bad habit that we have. I think Bhante says somewhere in his commentary on the Diamond Sutra, he said, well, maybe we ought to start thinking that we're already quite a substantial person. We've already got a lot of merit, a lot of qualities to encounter the Diamond Sutra. That's what the sutra is saying. And he says, yeah, maybe, actually, we're a bodhisattva. We're a bodhisattva. We're just having a bit of an off life. In an otherwise dazzling, meteoric career. I think that's really wonderful. We've just sort of forgotten that we're bodhisattvas. I think that's lovely way of putting things. It's a bit of fun, in a way, but I think he's actually saying something. Buddha nature, as we know, is very in at the moment in the FWBO, in some sense, we're Buddhas already. Well, if you're keen on it, if you're keen on Buddha nature, you need to start not just thinking about the present, but also transform your view of the past. The Buddha nature isn't just in the present, presumably. It was in the past as well. Sometimes we can go on and on, we can say, I'm really into Buddha nature, but then complain about our past. It's a bit weird, really, if you think about it. We need to start thinking, if you like, that we're not only more than the person we think we are now. Maybe we've been more than the person we think we have been. More than the person we think we have been. So it's not just about what goes on now. What is our view of our past? So a deeper interpretation of this passage than just simply seeing it in terms of Mahayana hyperbole about how good this sutra is and the merit associated with it. I think what's being said here is something about our attitudes to time, to history, and to our place in time and history, who we are and where we stand in history. And the Buddha is in particular attacking habitually dark and doubting views of self and world. This is, I think, really can be rather shocking, a great positive shock. You know, if we could really intuit, not just sort of take as a belief, but intuit, well, I've planted merit roots under 100,000s of Buddhas, and I am perfectly qualified, perfectly gifted, perfectly adequate to intuiting the Diamond Sutra, to realizing the Diamond Sutra. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing to say. It's almost too much. It's a bit like when it's said of the Vajrasattva sadhana, that when you meditate on Vajrasattva, it's not about Vajrasattva is the Bodhisattva of purity, as the image of him there. It's not about you being purified, but realizing that you've never in fact been impure. That impurity is just a mistaken perception. Well, this can be really shocking, really powerful. And of course, the implications are that there really are no excuses. There is really no way of getting out of, you know, we can't sort of argue ourselves out of not engaging with the way things are.